Well, this morning I was, I wanted to read two letters to you this morning. This last week while I was studying or just reading, having devotional time, it struck me again, and it's not a new thought by any stretch, but so much of the New Testament that we have were letters written to churches or individuals in response to correspondence that we don't have today. We don't have it anymore. Some of them are general epistles, and so they're not that way. They're just written in general. But some of them are part of a correspondence of which some is missing, and God preserved for us these letters to be instructive to us. And so I kind of have an experiment this morning, and please just take it with a grain of salt. The first letter I'm going to read to you is fake. It's a fake letter. And the second one is authentic, and it's real. I'm going to read this morning from 2 Timothy. But first, I'm going to read this. And the reason why I'm doing this is sometimes I think to remember that these were correspondence can bring into focus things. I mean, if you've been reading some of these epistles your life long, there are certain things that just fall out of perspective. And sometimes when we put them back in a context that we can understand, it can bring things out fresh and new that maybe we've been missing. Okay, so here's the first thing I'm going to read. Take this with a grain of salt. Timothy, a minister of the gospel to the churches in Ephesus and abroad, to Paul, my father in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God for your encouragement and direction to me as I endeavor to carry out the work among the believers in Ephesus and elsewhere. As per your encouragement, I have continued on here teaching and preaching the one true doctrine delivered by you concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Your directions in establishing order here have been good and valuable to me. I have found that there are plenty of office seekers here, but very few who meet the qualifications of which you wrote me. Praise be to God for the few that he has revealed to be ready for service in the offices of overseer and deacon. He knows how much it is needed. Without them, I would be utterly overwhelmed. I confess that as I have endeavored to set things in order in the household of God, that there have been times that I have been discouraged to the point of despair. You wrote unto me not to let others despise my youth, and yet there are those who use my youth as a reason for disregard or dismissal of my admonishments to cease from vain discussions and for the vying of positions of power among the brethren, insisting that I know not of what I speak for lack of experience and even mocking me. Praise to God, I have not relented, yet the problems persist with the irreverent and silly myths that have been so prevalent here. I despair to tears, and when I think of your present state, your chains, and the inevitable feeling that you are being deserted by those in Asia and persecuted for Christ's sake, I weep the more. Will such be my end as well? What will become of me? Why am I being resisted and persecuted as I work the works of Christ? Pray for me that I lose not the hope in the living God, the Savior of all people, especially those that believe. I report that in spite of my problems, the widow ministry and distribution has flourished. Families are caring for their widows, and widows indeed are cared for by the church in the daily distribution. Also, my health has improved significantly since I have used some wine with my water. I also report that there are some who sought to use the church and our ministry as a means to grow their possessions and standing among men, and they have left us. These were some of the chief offenders among those sowing quarrels and controversy among the brethren. I have taken your admonishments to heart, and while I have worked to create some means of provision through the brethren for those ruling well in service of the church, I myself have eschewed any compensation for my labors, that my example and instruction to the believers may be above reproach. One thing I would ask your counsel on. Often in the assembly, while I am teaching, there are those who interrupt me and pull me off what I would teach to argue and contend for understandings that are not whose I learned from you, those that I learned from you. In particular, there are two, Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who consider themselves learned in the ways of our Lord, who make the resurrection a point of contention. Often the people are confused afterward, and I myself lose patience with their interruptions. Do I tolerate these men? Should they be silenced? Or what is their role in God's church? Can such be redeemed? What say you? I desire to know of your present state. Who is with you? Who are the brothers that have ministered to you in your bonds? How are the brothers that have ministered to you in your bonds? What is your current standing appealing to Caesar? There is one I have heard of, Alexander the coppersmith. I have heard that he has troubled the churches that have contact with him. But what say you of him? I am in contact with Prisca and Aquila and Onesiphorus. They send greetings to you. I also am in contact with Mark, who is ministering not far from here. I have several of your things here, books, parchments, and a cloak of yours that Carpus keeps. What would you desire I do with these things? I plan to make a journey to you as soon as circumstances permit. The Lord keep you and grace be to you. Timothy. And now I'm going to read the letter of 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel of the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does not no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim of life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be to you. Lord, give understanding, and grace be to you as well. Oh.
Show me thy Thank you.